And as we get going this evening, we are going to be back in Matthew chapter 28. So if you're looking for where to go, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. We are taking a break for 3 weeks. This is the second week from our series through the book of Mark. So if you're like, hey, that's not the right book, you're right. We're in Matthew 28. We're doing 3 weeks on the Great Commission, the Great Commission. Okay, so look at the person that's next to you that you came with and just say, stick to the plan. All right, say it like you mean it. Look at the person you came with and say, stick to the plan. All right, we're going to stick to the plan tonight, and we're going to go through three verses. But one of the things that changed my life, a professor of mine told me the best commentary for the Bible is the Bible. So we're going to have a lot of other scripture that support what we see in these three verses, verses 18, 19, and 20, the Great Commission. I'm going to read it for us as we get going. Maybe you're unfamiliar with it. Maybe you missed being with us last week. I know it's the summer. A lot of people are in and out. So let's just look at verse 18, and then we'll kind of chop it up as we go through tonight together. Verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So maybe if you're new to the church, new to this story, this is at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew. So Jesus has lived his life. He's done his ministry. He's gone to the cross. He's died on the cross. He's gone to the grave. He's risen from the grave. And this is the last thing that he gives us before he ascends into heaven to be at the right hand of God the Father. So if you're like, where are we contextually? Like, this is right before Jesus goes, whoop, into the sky, and the disciples are like, now what? He's giving them the now what. So if you were here last week, just as a reminder, we really talked about, do you know God's plan? Do you know the Great Commission? Do you think about it? Is it something that changes your life? Or do you know what it is? That's important, okay? You got to start there. You got to know what it is, and we just read it. But do you think about it? Do you know that this is your calling as a follower of Christ? Or are you like, that's just one more good passage in the Bible? These are our instructions. This is what everything culminates to in Jesus's ministry. He's like, all the stuff that I've been telling you for 3 years, all right, it's your turn to do that now. And so what we'll talk about this evening together, we'll look at the exclusivity of this plan for our lives that God's given us. God's plan is not for our comfort. It's for his kingdom. It's exclusive. So it's for us, but it's through him. It's for him. His plan for us is that we get to be a part of seeing his kingdom grow. There's no other plan other than this. This is the one that we were created to be a part of. So I'll just like get this out here early. If you walked in here today and you've been struggling with what do I do with my life? Maybe you're in the summer break between your first or second or third and fourth years of college. Maybe you're just out of college and you're trying to figure that out because that's like a whole thing, right? Or maybe you've been working for a few years and you're just trying to figure out, man, I don't know what my purpose is. What's the plan for my life? Does anybody want to know that? I do. Let's try that again. Does anybody want to know that? I do. Thank you. Okay, I don't get shy. I'll wait till y'all raise your hands, okay? We want to know this. But so often, we miss God's design for us because we're so infatuated and so obsessed with finding out what's for me. What's my job going to look like? Where can I find my fulfillment? And I'll just lead with this as we start tonight. If you're trying to find fulfillment or purpose, being whole in anything else other than listening to God's plan for your life, you're going to be missing out. Look at verse 18. And Jesus came and he said to them. So like, think about it this way. If you like just saw Jesus die, and you're already like, okay, wasn't expecting that. And he's dead for 3 days. And you're like, all right, we got to figure out, like, what do we do moving forward now? And then he comes back from the dead. And you're like, wasn't expecting that either. Like, it's the plot is getting thicker and thicker, right? And you're like, okay, what's next? And then he tells you what to do. And you're all huddled up. And you're like, okay, I thank you. I didn't know that. And then pew, he goes into heaven. Could you imagine, like, those moments right after that? Like, I would still probably look at it and be like, all right, so what did he say? What are we going to do? We're going to go. But what I want to lead with is that God's plan for our life, he gives us that with power. If you're taking notes, write this down. It's just simply write this down, the power. These are the credentials that Jesus gives us. When he tells us what to do, he's reminding us who he is. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a good person. He's not just a person that's kind of got a gathering, a following, so people are like, what do we do next? No, he is the Son of the living God, and he's reminding them just who he is. Now, think about this. Like, if you came here, who came here with, like, a group of people? Like, a couple of friends, something like that? Remember, I don't get shy, okay? I think more of you did because I watch you guys walk in, okay? So, like, we'll put it this way. Sometimes your group comes up with a plan, right? Like, I had a group of friends like this, and it's like, we'd go to something, and it's like, all right, what's the plan after, right? And I know some of y'all come, like, for this, and we're grateful, but some of y'all come because y'all go get food after this, too, okay? Like, I get it. And some of y'all have a friend in your group that likes to take charge, right? They're like, let's go get pizza after this, and you're like, maybe. They're like, let's get wings, and you're like, time out. Like, you don't even have gas money, dude. You have the friend like that? I think I was the friend like that, but I usually think things like if there's a plan, how's this going to work? Like, what are the credentials of the person that's coming up with this plan? Like, they got gas money? They got pizza money? Or are they just, like, here for a good time, right? The plan of God for our lives is different than the plans that we come up with. And he gives us that plan with authority. Look at what that scripture says in verse 18. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth, everywhere, all authority has been given to Jesus. You might feel like you got a lot going on for you right now. No one has more authority than Jesus. Amen. Nobody has more say than him. He has authority. He's in control. He has always been, he is, and he always will be all-powerful. From the Old Testament, look at 1 Chronicles 29:11. It'll be on the screen. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. This is Old Testament, New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6. And God raised the Lord and will also, check this out, raise us up by his power. Not by what we do. Not by earning it. Not by working for it. Not by going to church a lot or saying the right things, but by the power of the living God, the Son of God, Jesus, who lived a perfect life, died for us, and beat death. That's the authority, that's the power that this plan comes with. Jesus makes the exclusive. Y'all know what that means, right? It means like this and only this, nothing else. He makes this exclusive claim that he is our source of power to do what he's called us to do. So if you remove his power from the equation, what he's called us to do is impossible. I can't go make disciples on my own. I can't go tell people the word of God and what it means and the power that it has to change their life if I don't have the power of God in me. If I have not asked for forgiveness, if I have not made Jesus the head of my life and surrendered to him, and I'm trying to do what he's called me to do, it's worthless. He gives us the power. Matthew 19:26, just a few chapters before our main passage tonight, says, but Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You probably had a friend that took this verse like wildly out of context at some point, right? It's like Philippians 4:13. Like, I can do anything. I can jump over the building. You're like, that's not what that means. What that means is that with God, if he's called you to do something with him, that thing is possible. Without him, it's not. And so if we're going to answer God's call for our life to go and to make disciples, we have to do it through the power, the authority of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I put this in my notes, and it's not on the screens, just to make sure you're like tracking, because we're like 10 minutes into this already. I know it's flying by, right? The pizza place will be there when we get done, okay? Because the plan that God has for our lives is through the power of God, it's fail-proof. Write that down, fail-proof. It cannot fail. Why? Because it's not up to you. We get to be a part of it. That's pretty cool. But it's up to the power of the risen Son of God. You can't mess that up. The world can't mess that up. Satan can't mess that up. It is fail-proof. God has the resume, the track record, the credentials. God is batting 1,000 and has never failed, and his plan always prevails, and it's because of who he is, not because of our efforts. I don't know if you know this. This is for free. Our plans fail a lot. Has anybody gotten to the point where you're like just ready to admit that? Okay. For the rest of you, give it a week. We'll see you back next Tuesday, okay? Let us know how that's working for you. Our plans can mess up a lot. So I really do want participation on this. Who is in college right now, like here for the summer? It's great. It's okay. Like do it proud, okay? Like be excited about this. You're a college student. Okay, great. Thank you guys for being with us this summer. Follow-up question. Did anybody just graduate college like in the last 2 or 3 weeks? Raise your hand. Okay. Or in the last few. Yeah. Way to go. Way to go. Welcome to the rest of your life, okay? Y'all are like, I want to go back already, right? So I remember vividly, like I've shared this a couple times, and like God gave me an incredible gift in college of the friend group that I still have to this day. I mean, like there were 7 of us my senior year that had a house together, and like these were like Jesus-loving guys. So like let me lead with that, okay? But they were also like goons, okay? Like, I mean, we just got into it all the time, gave each other a heart. Like, did you all have friends like that like love Jesus, but you can totally just like punch them like, you know what I mean? Like just mess with them. I don't know how to describe it. You know what I'm talking about, right? And we just would like egg each other on all the time, but sometimes it would get like outside of the house. So like, that's one thing when it happens in our house and we're like, we like have boxing gloves and stuff like that. And we're just like, I'll beat you up. No, you won't, like that kind of thing. But sometimes it would just go further. And we kind of got into this like unofficial prank war with our neighbors. I'm not recommending this, by the way. Like, this is not like, when you leave here, go do this, okay? But we got into the prank war with this house next to us, and they thought they had us beat, but we were playing the long game, okay? We're playing to win this thing. So we started putting like cat food all around their house. And so they had all these stray cats coming to their house. And they were like, where's this coming from? And we're like, I have no idea. Like, just to give you an idea, those are the friends that I hung out with and love Jesus, though, okay? I just want to, like, reiterate that. But we come to the end of our senior year, and it's, like, about this time where, like, we graduated a week before. We have, like, a week and a half left on the lease. And we're getting a little sentimental, okay? Nobody wants to say it. Like, y'all know how guys are. You're like, I'm fine. And you're like, go home and cry by yourself. I did that. And like we get to this moment and we're like, man, like the school's kind of by this lake, and we're like, let's go take some time, just like the 7 of us, by the lake and just like tell stories and like tell each other what like we mean to you, just like real masculine stuff, right? Like, love you, bro. And so we go there, but like the week that we plan to do this, y'all remember Xbox 360s? All the guys are like, girls are like, what is that? It's like a little Game Boy thing, okay? And we had this Xbox 360 that, like, gave up the ghost. It died our last week of class. And we spent way more time on the Xbox than we did in class, just to give you an idea. Like, this was a part of our hearts, okay? And so this thing dies, and we're like, you know what we should do? We should do a Viking funeral. Not just a funeral. You're on it. Did you read my notes? How'd you know that? I don't know if you know what a Viking funeral it is, but like it's where like they like fill the boat with some kind of fiery something, and they push it out, and then they like send an arrow, right? And then it, pff, I'm like, that's cool. So we're like, we'll do that, but we don't have resources, okay? We just graduated college. We are dirt broke, I have no way of doing this. So we take, y'all know like the styrofoam igloo coolers, you know what I'm talking about? They have the lid that are like this thick, you know, and you, if you put them upside down, it's kind of like a little boat, right? So we take that and we fill it with charcoal starter, right? Allegedly. I just want to throw that out there just in case this gets out. Like, we may have done this stuff. And then we take the Xbox 360 and we're like, we're going to sail it off into the lake and just have like a moment of silence for our time together as the guys. You know what I mean? And I did ChatGPT because I don't think we had a real photo of it, but we... So it's like actually worse than this, because what we planned to do was like get it out there and like watch it and like the sun's going down. I'm like, this is going to be so scenic, right? Like, we got this. Well, one of my friends that will remain nameless lights it and tries to like kick it out there, and it just stays. And I'm talking like 15-foot fireball goes up, and we are standing directly under an oak tree. And we're like, ruh-roh, okay. So a lot of us have like jobs at this point, and we're like, this is on you, I'm out. So we just run, right? We just go in 10 different directions as somebody that works in the president's office of the university drives by. And I've never run fast. Like, you should have timed my 40, okay? It was a great time. We had a great plan, and it fell apart, okay? You can take the Xbox off the screen. Our plans, we can mean well. And they can go bad really, really fast. Some of us have great plans for our life. Like, if we would take the time tonight to just go one by one and ask, like, what do you want to do with your life? Maybe you just did graduate from college. Maybe you're thinking about what you're going to change your major to in the fall. Maybe you're thinking about that job change. You're ready to take the next step in your career, and you have a plan for your life. Man, those things can be good, but if that's the only plan for your life, you're missing something far greater. The next thing that I'd like for you to write down is simply this, the plan. God chooses to use us. God chooses in his sovereignty, in his plan, to use people like us. You know yourself. I know myself. The older I get, the more I just think it's mind-blowing that God would choose to use someone like me, someone like you, for his purposes, for his glory. But look at verse 19. It says this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded to you. When he says this, he's talking to believers. He's talking to followers of Jesus. That's me and that's you. If you've been saved by grace through faith by Jesus Christ tonight, this is for you, this is for me, and there is no other plan for us other than this. So if you feel like you've been missing out on something, this is it. Look no further. This is it. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your time? Are you going and telling people about Jesus, helping them grow in their walk, teaching them how to understand God's word? Someone has to tell people that there is a way. I use the word exclusive already. Like, we live in a world that gets upset about the exclusive claims of Christianity. You know that, right? Like, sometimes people go, oh, Christianity's great, but I'm a fill in the blank. It's something else. And it's like, man, whatever floats your boat, as long as you're a better person, kind of like a moral therapeutic deist, if you know that term. Like, it just, as long as you feel good because you do good, you're going to be good. And Jesus is saying in John 14, he says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way, and hear me say this, Jesus was always the plan. This is not a backup thing. Before time started, before you were ever part of the equation, God knew that Jesus was the plan. And that if we want to come to know the Father and be with him and to know him and to sit by his side in eternity one day, there's one way. That's very exclusive. That's offensive to a lot of people. In the world that we live in, where it's like, man, I think Jesus is a good guy, but I got this thing. And it kind of like all comes out around the same, like, you're better, I'm better, it's fine. Just like, don't bug me with that. And I'd like to turn that argument on its head. The fact that a sovereign, perfect, holy, righteous God gives us any way to be with him is a miracle. And he tells us that. He doesn't leave us guessing. I'm not good at guessing. I don't want to try to take a stab in the dark at how to be with God. He tells us it's through Jesus. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And no one comes to know God, to be with him, except through him. So what's your plan? What is it? What's been your idea of how to be with God? What's been your plan for your life? Our version of God's plan can look like different things. I mean, like, I think things go wrong when we start making a plan and we make Christianity about us. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Like where the church can become a country club. You know what I'm talking about? Where people come and it's like been the same people there for 50 years. You're like, I don't know. Like, you haven't been with us since the jump. Like, maybe go somewhere else. That's not what this is about. Like, I want us to come here because we're ready to acknowledge in front of God and everybody that we need him. And that we want him, and that he is the way, the truth, and the life. But I've seen it happen in churches where people take their eye off the ball. They forget about this passage. They forget about the Great Commission that he called us to go, to do, to live our faith out, to share it with people. How many people have you talked to this week that don't know Jesus? And they know you come here. And you've never even asked them to come to church, much less share the gospel with them. If you're wondering what this is all about, that's it. And man, I'm glad you're here, but there's some empty seats in this room that could be filled with your friends this time next week. Like, if you want something worthwhile this summer, if you're like, man, I want some memories from this summer, you have a lot of opportunities in the next few weeks. And you can do some dumb stuff, like light an Xbox on fire, allegedly, or you can do something meaningful and eternity impacting. Like when you die and go and stand before God, what are you going to tell him you did with your time? And I don't mean to get morbid and I don't want to stay here too long, but we are going to die one day. You know that, right? Do you feel the weight of that? Like, this body is not forever. And I want to be able to stand before a holy God that saved me from myself and be able to look him in the eye and say, I know I was not perfect, but I can stand before you because you made me clean. And with the time that you gave me, I told people about you. All this other stuff, it's not going to matter. All this other stuff's not going to hold up. All this other stuff is not for eternity. And God gives us, Jesus gives us through the Great Commission, the blueprint. He gives us the plan. Our version of God's plan, anything other than that, is not correct. Like other religions, other things that this world has come up with is not God's plan. It's not going to work. It's not going to make an eternal impact. And don't get me wrong, like, you can feel good running after a lot of other things. But haven't we all tried that enough already? Like, you know where that goes, right? How's that working out? I can tell you, it doesn't work out. It can promise you everything and leave you with nothing. I want God's plan for my life. So what do? First, we go. Like, that's the focus of this verse. Go, therefore, and then da-da-da-da-da. Go. What are you doing right now? Is your faith, like, stale and stagnant and bored? Like, are you going or are you just sitting there? Is your faith just something that you keep to yourself? You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's kind of the culture that I grew up in. Was like, we go to church on Sunday. And like, tell me about Jesus. And I'm like, that's for Sunday, though. Like, I don't understand that. Do you live it? Are you going? Are you bringing it with you? Do people know you by your faith, or do they know you by anything else? Y'all have some really cool stories. You also have some really cool things that you do. But do people know you by your faith? As you go, when you're doing this, as you're going about, make disciples. Have you ever discipled somebody? Y'all, it's awesome. it can be difficult. Can anybody attest to that? Why? Because they're people. You're a person. You don't have this figured out either. And you're walking with somebody through the realities of life. Like, you don't just meet for coffee and go through a book of the Bible and it's like, everything's great. See you next week. Like, there's going to be times where you open God's word and, like, the first few words out of your mouth, somebody just starts crying. Like, worst week of my life. I messed up. I failed. I fell short. That's something that we're called to do. It's not just a high five on a Tuesday night, a see you on Sunday. It's like walking with people through life and pointing them to Jesus. Baptizing them. What does that mean? It means like helping people show the world that they belong to Jesus. Like, that's an identity thing. And don't we live in a world where everybody's screaming for identity right now? They want to be known by something. They want to be part of a group, right? That's something that we can do. Is show people you belong to the best thing. You belong to the bride of Christ. Like, you belong to Jesus. And to teach them to obey everything that Jesus has commanded. That's a lot of things, right? Like, you don't just wake up knowing this stuff one day. It's something that we have to learn. For whatever reason, I feel like I've read through the 10th chapter of the book of Romans like 100 times in the last month. I think God's just got me hanging out there. So verses 14 and 15 of Romans chapter 10. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now, a lot of time in our context, we use this these two verses when we're talking about sending people all over the world, like on missions, right? Let's reread this and you think about the person that you work with that doesn't know Jesus, that might not have ever heard about Jesus. How then will they call on him, Jesus, in whom they haven't believed? And how are they going to believe in him of who they've never heard? Like, everybody's heard of Jesus. No, they haven't. You got people that you know that do not know who he is. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? That doesn't mean this. That means proclaiming the word of God, and that's in every context. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Hear me today. This great commission is you being sent. This is your sending call. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the good news. What if you came in here every week celebrating that you shared the good news with somebody? That God's plan for your life was something that you were living out, not just knowing about. I'm so tired of people that know everything that the Bible says and they don't do anything with it. That's exhausting. This is life-changing. This is eternity-changing. Let's take it out of the walls of this place and into the world. And I guarantee you'll come back amped up about what God's doing in people's life if you just take a baby step of faith in obeying this. To stay on mission, to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach. We talked about a second ago, because of the plan that God has through his power, it's a fail-proof plan. But God chooses to use us in that plan. But because it's him in us, the plan is, write this down, it's foolproof. It's foolproof. So you can lean over to somebody that you came with and say, even you can do this. I didn't say to call him a fool, I just said to encourage him, okay? It's foolproof. Because if we are faithful to obey through the strength that God provides us, this plan works. Even though, did you hear those words? Even though. We're the ones that God uses. Short of God's power, short of God's grace, short of God's salvation in my life, I can't do this. I'm not worthy. I'm not useful. I'm not sufficient. But because of who he is and what he's done in my life, I am counted worthy to be a part of his plan. Lastly, look at this. This is in the second part of verse 20, the promise. So there's power. There's a plan. But it comes with a promise. As we walk in obedience to God's plan for our life, he gives us this. Not that everything will be easy, and I think that's a lot of the time what we look for, right? If I'm walking in God's will, this is just going to be a cakewalk. Wrong. It's not going to be easy. Not all the time will everything go over well as we are going and making disciples, but he promises that he will be with us. And behold, what does it say? I am with you always to the end of the age. So look around. Like, no, really. Look around. You can pinch yourself. I got news for you. We're still here. We're still in this body. We're still on this earth. So what does that mean? That means that God is with you if you're a follower of Christ. That God has and is and will give you the strength to live the life that you're called to if Jesus has made you new. Isaiah 41 says, "Fear not, for I am with you." God's been saying this for a long time. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Psalm 23, some of y'all have known this passage before, "But even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me." Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you?" Some of y'all know this. "Be strong and good. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed." But let's read this together. "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He gives us a promise, guys, that he's not going to leave us. That he's not telling us to go and do this on our own, by our own. But that he's given us this exclusive path, this exclusive plan to make his kingdom grow. We get to see other people come to know Jesus, and we get to be a part of that. That's incredible. We get to do something with this life here that will run straight into eternity. Look at your neighbor again and say, "Stick to the plan." Y'all been slacking all night. Say it again. Stick to the plan. See, y'all always mean it. Like you sound like you mean it the second time. Here's the deal. As we're wrapping up and the band's going to come up and we're going to sing some more together. God's plan, God's call on our life to go and to make disciples, to baptize them and to teach them everything that Jesus has commanded us. That's a command. That's a plan that has eternal impact. And I don't know the plan that you had walking in here today, but if it's anything other than that, it's for here and now. It's here today, gone tomorrow. I mean, some of those things are great. I'm not saying give up on your career or your education or those pursuits, but if that's the chief goal of your life, you're missing it. That this exclusive call that God's given us is the best thing that you can do, and it's the thing that you are made to be a part of. We can't do anything eternity impacting on our own. We're powerless. Some of y'all have to come to a point in your life where you're ready to admit that. That on our own, by our own, we can't do enough to save ourselves, to save somebody else. But through the power of Jesus in us and through us, we can see eternities change. I mean, just be honest. Like, your plans stink, okay? We can say that. It's a safe place. Our plans stink. Even what we want to be good a lot of the time doesn't work. But God makes all things work together for our good and for his glory. And that's a powerful thing that we can be a part of.